This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
This is the Annie Fry Show.
Well, in your return to the ring for this fight, you are setting a monumental opportunity for kids my age to see the legend, Mike Tyson, in the ring for the first time. So after such a successful career, what type of legacy would you like to leave behind when it's all said and done?
Well, I don't know. I don't believe in the word legacy. I just think that's another word for ego. Legacy doesn't mean nothing. That's just some word everybody grabbed onto. Someone said that word and everyone grabbed on the word, so now it's used every 5 seconds. It means absolutely nothing to me. I'm just passing through. I'm going to die and it's going to be over. Who cares about a legacy after that? What a big ego. So I'm going to die. I want people to think that I'm this. I'm great. No, we're nothing. We're just dead. We're dust. We're absolutely nothing. Our legacy is nothing.
Well, thank you so much for sharing that. That is something that I have not heard before, someone say that as an answer.
Can you really imagine somebody say, I want my legacy to be this way when I... You're dead.
It's just your reminder that Mike Tyson is fighting Jake Paul tonight. But I'm more interested in that. How old is that kid? 10? 11?
Maybe.
There's this girl, she's interviewing Mike Tyson. You get the opportunity to interview Mike Tyson, and you ask a very honest... The question that every reporter, she's probably watched people reporting, and how many times, like, what do you want your legacy to be? Like, it's in the top five questions that you ask somebody just to ask a question.
It's funny.
Who cares? You're dead.
The dead thing is what's really funny, but also that he's criticizing this little girl. What everybody says that. You know, that's a question that everybody
says. I've never heard it like that before.
She actually does a pretty good job.
That's because you're a child. Yeah.
You know, I've never interviewed a celebrity who just told me that nothing matters and everybody's going to die before.
You live and then you die and then you're dead, kid. What are you even doing here? Yeah, do something else with your life. Right. You're wasting it away. Every minute that goes away is a closer minute to dead.
Even what we're doing now is worthless. Yeah. What you're doing is worthless. This fight is worthless. We're all going to die. You know, it's actually...
What are we even doing?
It's a lot of humility from Mike Tyson. I kind of like hearing that.
I was going to say, and I put this on X when I posted this video just now, that this is the complete set the spectrum opposite take of... Everything you do matters, Ryan. Everything about you is important, and people need to understand and value you for who you are. You are fine just the way you are, and you need to know that that is your power. That is your truth. Screw that.
Man.
You're going to live, and then you're going to die, kid.
Preach, sister. Let's just do this.
Yeah, just talk to you about how important you are.
That I love that message because it is everything you do, everything you feel matters so much. And then somebody comes along and goes, you are but a mist.
Yes.
You are dust.
Dust to dust.
You're here for a moment and then gone the next.
And if you live your entire life with people telling you, this is the MO of the culture rot that we're experiencing right now, is that your weakness is your strength. That the thing about you that is your greatest weakness, that's the thing that you need to lead with. That's stupid advice. Why are we not telling kids, listen, little girl, little boy, you are not a perfect person. You're this, you're that, and you're the other thing. But as soon as you identify those weaknesses that you have, you can begin to work on them. You may never fully conquer them. And I'm here to tell you that nobody you ever meet in your lifetime will be perfect either. They have their this, that, and the other thing. But the people who don't look at their weaknesses and work to make them actual strengths or work to better themselves around it, those people are failing. Right now, we're told, whatever you are, be that the most.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah. No, even if you have bad qualities, man, you should really put those on display. Yeah, we know everybody hates those, but that's who you are. Every time I hear that stupid song from Christina Aguilera,
you are beautiful.
No matter what they say. Yeah. Like,
you're like,
no,
I'd like to put some words in your way.
Even if they're, because that song's not really talking about outward beauty.
Also, in Mean Girls, the guy sings that song on the stage right before they sing Jingle Bell Rock. Which is like the perfect mockery of it, honestly.
It's just so cheesy. And if I hate, and I apologize if you're this person, if you hear that song and you go, yeah, I needed that today, I'm like, no. I think you're,
you need something else.
Looking for something else.
Yeah, that's a fleeting thought. Anyway, Mike Tyson fighting Jake Paul tonight. Mike Tyson, my understanding, is slapped Jake Paul for trying to make an intimidating, aggressive move on the stage last night. Mike Tyson slapped him like he slapped hopes and dreams with that little girl with that interview. Do you know anything about this fight?
I know that it's on Netflix because Netflix keeps telling me it's on Netflix.
Yeah, I bet. The rules surrounding the fight?
I think it's just a boxing match.
Oh, well,
I don't know what the length of the rounds
are. Rogan YouTube short, and it was talking about the rules, and I don't know enough about that industry to know. Like, I just don't trust that anything is real.
I don't either.
I said to Brad the other day, when Anthony Blinken says we're going to push every dollar out the door to Ukraine that we can, I'm like, that can't be real. And then he like sent me a Forbes article. He's like, it's real.
Nope,
like,
that's real.
Crap.
Yeah.
But what I heard was that if Tyson knocks out Jake Paul in the first round, Tyson gets paid $0.
Really?
And yes. So somebody in the chat is going to know more about this. I don't know anything about boxing. I'm not going to watch this fight. I don't care about this fight. I would generally say that I want to see Mike Tyson do work on Jake Paul, but Jake Paul did a lot for Donald Trump, so he kind of is growing on me a little bit.
I know, I'm split.
But that the rules that I heard were that in order for Tyson to make the biggest bank, he has to last 8 rounds. But in order to last 8 rounds, Paul has to be in it for 8 rounds as well.
Mm-hmm.
So he can't just go up, boom, do his Mike Tyson thing, and walk away and make the most money. Although, well, Frank is saying that's more than nothing than rigging the fight. I think that was Rogan's point, but I don't know what I heard. So somebody needs to...
If that's true, then... And there's nothing else involved, like you said, there's no other like behind the scenes rules, then that would indicate that Mike Tyson is the heavy favorite in this.
I think he is.
I didn't know. And it was because Matt Walsh, I think, was the one saying, look, yes, Mike Tyson is a great fighter. He's also 60.
Yeah, but
so
he's Mike Tyson. The other thing I think I heard was that they said that Tyson or do you know? Am I
here comes Ethan. All
right. Did I watch fake AI video? Ethan, is this accurate information?
Which part of the accurate part?
Did I say anything that was accurate?
Well, they are fighting. That is happening.
This is not going well.
No, not so far.
It doesn't look good for me.
So here's what I think people need to take into account is that kind of like what Matt Walsh said. Mike Tyson.
What is a woman?
Like, well, that yes, but Mike.
Am
Tyson,
I racist?
Yeah, well, that too. But Mike Tyson is 58 years old.
Yeah.
And, I mean, even the Paul brothers, you know, I can't stand the Paul brothers because they've gotten famous in boxing off of matching up against people that are either really old legends, but
yeah,
they're still really old. And they're like, oh, I kicked Floyd Mayweather's butt. And it's like
when Mitt Romney fought Mike Tyson. Do you remember that? It happened. Google it. Go on.
So, like...
What?
Yeah.
So, I think... This is probably, I would be really surprised if Jake Paul did not absolutely annihilate Mike Tyson, because it is exhausting being in the ring for that long. We saw that with Floyd Mayweather, who is the greatest boxer of all time, like had a hard time just like pacing out against Logan Paul. So I'd be really surprised if this ends up going anywhere near 8 rounds, just because it is exhausting for anyone, let alone at 58, to be able to stay that long in the ring. I think that Jake Paul's going to annihilate him.
I was wrong. It wasn't Tyson. It was Holyfield.
Romney fought Holyfield.
Romney stings like a butterfly in fight with Evander Holyfield, the Guardian.
Gosh, that's real.
Many called him a political lightweight when he ran for president, but the 68-year-old was all heavyweight in the ring with former boxing champion.
Is that a real photo?
That's got to be the beat.
That looks like a doctored picture.
No, he did it. It was a charity fight. It was real.
But look at that picture. That looks like his head is way too big for that fake boxer body. Oh, now it's playing. I don't know what we're watching now.
It's getting worse.
Some lady in a Batman hat dancing.
Mitt Romney failed in his bid to become U.S. president, and now he has another failure under his belt after being defeated by heavyweight boxing champion Evander Holyfield in a charity bout. Who could have seen either of those things coming?
Man. That really does sound like the B.
It really does.
It's not.
And all of these pictures look fake.
The former Republican presidential candidate and Massachusetts governor, 68 years young, lasted two rounds in the ring at a charity bout in Salt Lake City on Friday night. Good for him. Romney looks good.
Yeah, whoever's body is on Romney's head there looks good.
That's Pierre Delecto, bro.
You're right. That is Pierre Delecto.
The pair barely threw any punches and largely just danced around, occasionally lightly jabbing each other in the midsection.
Still went two rounds?
In what was very much a comedic event. The good-natured match came ahead of several other fights by professional boxers. It's funny how they added the professional in there. And an auction to raise funds for Charity Vision, which helps restore vision to people in developing countries. The event raised at least $1 million. After the fight, Romney said of Holyfield, quote, he said, "You know what? You float like a bee and sting like a butterfly."
Ooh.
Sure he did.
This is really an ending of the segment comment. But if Jake Paul were to die, and you carried his casket,
what
would you be, a Paul brother pallbearer? As you can see. That's a comment that kind of ends the segment. And I was trying to wait, but we weren't quite there, and I wanted to make sure I got it in.
Well, the segment's supposed to be 3 minutes longer.
I know.
We never even got to talk about the J6ers.
Oh, man.
We're going to do that now.
Oh, okay.
We're just going to leave that hang out there and make you think about what you've done. Should Donald Trump pardon the J6ers, Brad? Yes, some, or no?
I'm a some on this one. I think that there are some J6ers that absolutely deserve to be prosecuted, and I think there are some that don't, and I think that he should pardon those ones that don't deserve it. Also, I think he should look at how long they've been waiting for their trial, and you have the right to a speedy trial in the United States, and if you've been waiting this long and you still haven't had your trial, I think you should just, it should be thrown out. He should just pardon those people as well. So, some is my answer.
Ryan?
I am an emphatic yes to this question. All of them. There are so many people who have not had trials, like Brad just said. There's
nobody in your mind, nobody who participated in whatever you want to call it, an insurrection or not an insurrection, whatever. There's nobody who participated in that you think should be in jail.
Well, I think they already have been in jail. So they've served their term.
4 years of whatever it is.
Of whatever it is. You got your punishments.
What about the person who shot and killed the other person?
Wasn't that a police officer?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, you set me up.
Are you new here?
I'll never catch on. I can guarantee you that.
That was a dadgummit moment. Oh, she got me again.
But it's a good point, though.
Yeah, it's a great point.
That's why she's so good at doing the job that she's doing.
What?
Nothing. the only death was caused by a police officer. So even that person, that's the worst crime that was committed.
I don't think that person got in any trouble.
I don't either. So I am a yes to all of the people. If you got convicted of trespassing, you have done your time now.
There's a difference between clemency and pardon, though.
Okay. Please explain.
Well, a pardon absolves people from any wrongdoing. It would expunge from your record convictions, any of that.
Well, I guess if you get into the nuance of the language, I'm still a yes.
Yeah?
Yeah, I think so.
I'm some, but if some became all because of further information, I think the biggest question that we have not ever even been able to publicly ask without being shouted down is, were there instigators?
Right.
Were the people who were starting, were people entrapped to do something intentionally? I want to know.
I almost guarantee that there were, based on the answers that we got from hearings, from the FBI.
Did
brass,
you have federal agents present? I can't answer that.
Yeah, were they instigated? I can't say. Okay, thank you. So you did say. And now we're going to have somebody else in charge of the FBI who's going to be able to hopefully get to the bottom of these things.
I think I'm a some. I don't think I can blanket say all. But if some turned into all, I wouldn't be mad about it. I just would want to have actual reason. I want every case to be looked at individually. And if every case ends up being one worthy of a pardon, I would have zero problem with that. Does that make sense?
Absolutely.
As opposed to what a lot of people are thinking, too, that, you know, if he comes out, what if he comes out on January 20th after he's inaugurated into office and he's saying, I'm pardoning Hunter Biden for all crimes? If I were him, good grief. I got a message from someone close to me yesterday when we were talking about the Biden-Trump sit-down conversation and how cheery they were with each other. And the point that was made was Biden has to be cheery with Donald Trump because Joe Biden did nefarious things with business deals that are about to be in the hands of Donald Trump.
Oh, my gosh. That's a good point,
too. And like, I hadn't really thought, we've talked about it a lot, but at this point in time, I haven't even really considered the fact that Joe Biden was being investigated during Donald Trump's first presidency, which was the onus for the House Democrats to impeach Donald Trump because Donald Trump was having a phone call with Zelensky and the Biden family was under investigation at that time. They used it as a way to turn it into a political hit job on Joe Biden when actually there was a fire where the smoke was. That doesn't go away. And when Joe Biden is sitting in the Oval Office there with Donald Trump and they're all cheery and you're thinking, you know what? Joe Biden knows probably that his future, his family's future is in the hands of Donald Trump. You know what I'd like to see? I'd like to see, at least right now, Donald Trump pardon Hunter. I think I would like to see that move on. I don't want to be a year into Donald Trump's presidency and we're covering sentencing hearings for Hunter Biden. I don't want to see that. I would like to see Donald Trump make a deal with Joe Biden to talk.
Oh, that would be fantastic.
And ensure that Joe Biden doesn't have to live a life of being incarcerated, even if it's house arrest or whatever, that his legacy isn't sullied, that maybe the one truly patriotic thing that Joe Biden does is he explains how it went and everybody who was associated with it goes on down with the story.
Yeah, and the way you do it, because just of what we know, the way you do it is you go, Joe, we're going to have a new FBI, you're going to have a new DOJ. They're going to look into the fact that you had 22 shell companies, and they're going to find out where this money was coming from and where it was going. Do you want to talk now or do you want to talk later? That's the way you do it.
Yeah, and I don't need to see Joe Biden go down. Let Jill talk.
Yeah.
Give her a show and let her talk.
Yeah, because this wouldn't be a political persecution. This is we know there was a lot going on behind the scenes. Somebody's gonna have to sing. Whoever wants to sing first, great.
Yeah,
but this is all illegal, and it is like dirty deep state illegal stuff. It's not just
and the tentacles.
Exactly.
Super deep.
Yes. Who's going to sing?
And when Joe Biden's sitting there and he's grinning ear to ear, it's like, why are you the happiest you've ever been? I just want to know. Let's take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to do next question. Any questions that you have for us here in the studio, we're going to answer them. Send them to the Annie Fry YouTube live chat poll, and you can comment as well after you vote on that YouTube live chat poll. Should Donald Trump pardon the J6ers? Let's see here. We've got 200, and it's going up fast here, 200 and maybe 80 votes in, 70, 71, 72. It's continuing to go up as I talk. And two of these responses are getting the lion's share, but it is kind of close between the two of them. Should Donald Trump pardon the J6ers? Yes, some or no? We'll be right back.
This
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Next question.
Question.
It's a legitimate question.
Next question.
Next question, please.
Next question on the Annie Fry Show.
Well, if you've got questions for us, if you jump on the Annie Fry YouTube live chat, you can leave your questions in the live chat. We'd love to answer thoughts that you might have. We usually wrap up this hour by doing that. Ryan, did you say you got a question to start us off here?
I'm going to start with a listener question. Okay. This is from Bobo. He says,
Bobo's always sending good questions.
These are good. Yeah, he's got a few good ones here. What would you put in a time capsule for people to find in 50 years?
Ooh.
Have you ever done a time capsule?
Yeah. I don't know if I was ever around when it got dug up. I think I did some in grade school.
Yeah, I did too. They were a big thing when we were in grade school.
Yeah, we were bored. We didn't have the internet, like literally.
Yeah. What do you want to do today? I don't know. Let's bury our belongings.
I think a cell phone would be interesting to put in there.
That's a good one.
50 years. I mean, you could fit the technology of today in a cell phone or in a capsule, but what else would you put in?
I don't know.
That says Donald Trump won?
I think I would like to put some modern foods in there and just see how long they last.
A McDonald's cheeseburger?
A fry, a Twinkie. Yeah, different things like that.
Like a Twinkie and a wrapper.
Yeah. Just see, is this still edible? Because they say it is in the post-apocalyptic movies. I did do a time capsule when I was in the early 90s. And I think I've said this before on the show. The only thing I remember putting in there is a Lee Smith baseball card.
Yeah.
Because I thought, oh, this will be definitely worth something in the future. He's like the saves leader for the Cardinals.
Yeah. So why wouldn't he be?
So of course he will be. Yeah. It's one of those old Topps ones with like the curvy 92 or 93 year. Something like that. Anyway.
Katie Matthews has a question. Can we remove Kamala's part of the next question intro? I'd rather not hear her voice anymore.
Well, I've got to tell you that I made that intro knowing that there was a very good possibility that we would never hear Kamala's voice again.
It was hopeful.
And that's why I put it on there. Just because we can every now and then remember, oh yeah, that's what that was like every day.
Brad, you got a question?
Yes. So my question is when somebody finds out what you do or where you're from, what question do they always ask you? The very first question you always hear.
What you do and where you're from are two very different questions.
So let's go with where you're from.
What's the first question people ask when they find out where you're from?
Well, yeah. Let's revise that just to say, what do you, or a precursor, what do you say when people ask you where you're from?
If I am around the Missouri-Illinois area, I will say I live on the east side of St. Louis. I'll say I live in the Illinois side of St. Louis.
If you're in this area?
If I'm in these two states, I will say that, because usually people have a pretty good understanding. But if I'm outside of this area at all, and I mean in Kentucky, you know, you just say, well, I'm from St. Louis. Beyond that, have you ever been out of the country and tried to explain that you're from St. Louis? Because people don't really know.
I've never been out of the country. I went to Canada for a couple days.
On our honeymoon, we went to Mazatlan, Mexico, and this was like 2007. And I remember it was the first time I'd ever been out of the country and trying to say, people go, oh, where are you from? Everybody wants to know where you're from. And I would say St. Louis, thinking people know where St. Louis. Nobody had any idea where St. Louis is. And so we started saying near Chicago, because that's the closest thing that people would know where that's from. And then for whatever reason, it must have been the way I said it or something, everybody would go, what is New Chicago? I would say I'm near Chicago. They'd be like, what's New Chicago? Never heard of that before. Until one guy, one street vendor goes, is that by Farmington? kind of, yeah.
What about you, Brad?
If I am in this area talking to somebody, I'm more specific. I'm like, I tell them what town I'm from in Illinois. If I'm like, you know, about the country, I'm like, I live in Illinois just east of St. Louis. And that's kind of how I just describe where I'm from. So I put it on the marker, mm-hmm. St. Louis, and then in Illinois, because I'm not actually from St. Louis.
I just tell people I'm from St. Louis. And then if it's around here, I just say across the river from St. Louis. That's pretty much it. But what's the first thing that people ask? People don't ask questions about St. Louis. There's no questions.
Not too much.
No, it's yeah, it's kind of like, okay. I will say this.
I guess people do those things.
If I say the Illinois side of St. Louis, which I will, the reaction is almost universally like, oh, Illinois, huh?
There is a known understanding that there's a portion of being in Illinois that sucks.
Yeah.
And it's just the government. Like, won't people say to you, like, Southern Illinois is so pretty there. People love the way Southern Illinois is set up and the property values and stuff like that, but there's just an understanding. You're taking one for the team when you go there.
And it's not just Republicans. I mean, it is people across the board everybody. Go, ah, Illinois, they're kind of in bad shape, aren't they? That's about it.
Which is how Illinois folks, your next two-year cycle is a big one. And J.B. Pritzker doesn't have term limits. J.B. Pritzker can be our ruler for the rest of his natural life. A governor for the state of Illinois has to run on fiscal issues only. The abortion rule in the state of Illinois is absolutely egregious. It's terrible. It does need reform, but you're not going to get a governor elected who's going to be able to do that, make those commitments. They're just not going to be able to. So you're going to say, this person is not conservative enough. They're not pro-life enough. When you vet the pro-life nature of a governor candidate in the state of Illinois the way we traditionally do, you are guaranteed to get a cannot be more pro-abortion enough Democrat in that office. And that sucks, but that is the way it is. And if it hurts to hear that, go listen to Mike Tyson. You're going to live and then you're going to die, kid.
I actually have a serious question that's kind of along those lines. Do you think that Trump's life was more in danger before the election or now?
Now.
Yeah.
Because he's the guy.
Now. I think that the prior to was a part of a hope that he wouldn't become the president again. If he's not the president, then you can get him for revenge. You can get him. And if you can get him and it's televised, then you can use that for propaganda, so on and so forth. But now he is going to be in a position to do things that caused his life to be in danger in the first time. And he's going to do those things.
I actually would answer this question before the election, because the more he starts to get people in place, the more he's got a team around him that could come and step in. And therefore, it's like, well, if we take the head out, the whole snake's not going to go away. I just think he was more of a threat to the establishment than now that he's actually getting things rolling.
I'm going to take the exact opposite stance based on the exact same evidence. I think he's more in danger now because he's putting his team in place. And like the stuff that I'm seeing on Twitter and stuff like that from the people, like the left took a breath after he won, but now they're starting to come back. And it's like, are people like having buyer's remorse over Donald Trump, seeing what he's going to do? All it's going to take is one crazy person. Just one crazy person to go, these people that he's putting in here are a threat to this country, and I'm going to try to take them out. And if they get a shot, they'll take the shot. So I think it's now. I don't think it's just the deep state that he has to worry about. I think he has to worry about the rando out there as well.
In a little bit of cabinet appointee news, President-elect Trump announced two more additions to his White House staff on Friday, according to Fox News, promoting his campaign spokesman to lead the communication shop. Trump announced that Stephen Chung would return to the White House as assistant to the president and director of communications. He previously served as communications director for the Trump Vance campaign and was the White House director of strategic response in Trump's first term. Additionally, Trump confirmed that Sergio Gore will join the White House as director of the presidential personnel office. Gore, an ally and business partner of Donald Trump Jr.'s, was in charge of the pro-Trump political action committee Right for America and previously worked in Republican Rand Paul's office. So that is the latest of the cabinet picks. Let's take a quick break. More questions from you here on Next Question. So if you want to get something asked, if you want to hear our discussion on it, Annie Fry YouTube channel, in the comments, you can leave your thoughts right there. You can also vote in today's YouTube live chat poll. Should Donald Trump pardon the J6ers? More Next Question when we come back. Trying to holler at me. Checking me, but his game is gone. Welcome back to the Annie Fry Show. Grateful for you to be here with us. We do appreciate you. And a personal invitation from me to you. If you've got a friend who is kind of new to this political scene, I would imagine there are people who, in the last 2 weeks leading up to the election, there were a lot of exciting things happening, kind of coalescing around Donald Trump from newbies. At least newbies to the consideration of Donald Trump being the president once again. Tell them about us. Invite them to come listen to us. We would love to be able to be a kind of a soft landing place where people can come, you know, I don't know. I guess if you hated Donald Trump and you hate listen to us, then maybe we enjoy ourselves too much on this side of the election. But we're not about dunking on people. That's not our intention or whatever. And I really do look forward to the winning that is ahead of us. That's going to be winning for everybody. So bring some friends along. We'd love to have them.
Yeah. And if we get a breakaway and we dunk, it's because that's the most sure way to get the 2 points. We're not trying to dunk on you. But if the circumstance is there and we dunk, it's because we're just trying to be good teammates.
We're not going to posterize you.
Yeah, we're not trying to dunk. And we're not going to like yell at you when we come back down.
Is this an analogy?
Yes. Yes.
Play the music. Bobo?
There
it is. You got some Bobo questions there?
I do. let's see here. What's the most outrageous thing you'd buy if you won the lottery?
We're talking like stupid funny money, never have to
think
about
money
again. Ooh, do you know what you buy?
Yes.
What? Dr. Pepper?
No,
the
that's
company?
It's too small. Well, we're going to need a pretty big lottery.
I've always collected Dr. Pepper. Now I'm going to collect Dr. Pepper.
The person.
Now I'm going to collect you. I would buy a couple things. One is I would start collecting classic cars. Not because I know anything about classic cars, but I think they're kind of fun.
They are fun.
It would be fun to drive old cars. And they're not as expensive as I thought they'd be.
Because they require
a lot of maintenance, I'm sure,
and attention.
That would be the first thing. Now, with the crazy money, I would basically, well, I'd have to buy a new house to do this. I'd just buy a new mansion somewhere, and I would turn it into the game Chutes and Ladders, because that would just be awesome.
I think what I would buy homes in dream locations, not big homes. I wouldn't want to live in a mansion. I don't want to live in a mansion. But I want homes that I can go to that feel like home every time I go to them. I want one in Florida. I want one somewhere here in the bi-state region, but probably Southern Illinois, where it's like a respite, woods, lake, pond, maybe a sweet double wide with a wraparound porch that goes around the whole thing.
Yeah, out there near Carlisle Lake.
Not near, no.
Ooh.
My lake.
Ah, your lake.
My lake.
Annie Lake.
You won't even know that that place exists.
Out in Arizona.
Why?
Carrie
no.
Lake.
No. Actually. Wyoming or Montana or something cool. Like that. Maybe an apartment in Southern California. I want places to go that I don't have to book and deal with other people. That's what I would do.
If it's outrageous funny money, I'm going to buy a retired fighter jet and a place to keep it and you know, take off from and all that other stuff. I'm going to buy a retired fighter jet. I'm going to buy...
Can you just buy fighter jets?
You can, but there's ones that you can and ones that you can't. So ones that have been retired, it's not like a threat anymore. I'd also buy an old Warbird, something from World War II, a plane, fighter plane like that, and maybe a NASCAR team.
A team?
Can you buy people?
Well, you
I don't think you could do that.
You buy.
I'm buying Dr. Pepper.
The doctor. Yeah, you buy. They call it a team, but it's like the equipment, the trailer, the truck, the rights to race in the series, all of that, and then you hire people to work in it.
They call it a team, but there's really an I in it.
It's there in the A.
All right, I'm going to pull one up from Russell here. What is something you really enjoy about the upcoming holidays? And I like this part of the question. Something that you really dread?
I don't. Good grief. I don't really dread much of any of it.
I dread taking down decorations.
Okay, yeah, I'll give you that.
That's so dull.
I dread the end of it. It's laborious and sad.
I can't tell you I love putting up decorations either, but it's definitely better than taking them down.
I think I'm going to put them up tomorrow.
Yeah, it's about time. It's getting close.
I love the just maximum joy that the kids have around the holiday. And one thing about, I have four children, if you've never heard me talk about them before, and you're new here. I have four kids, and they're all like 2 or 3 or 4 years apart. So I don't have any kids who are in the same phase of life ever. They're very high school, middle school, elementary, three-year-old. So you get to kind of see the entire range of excitement, and they all have great excitement. It's just like a genuinely happy time. But I'm going to copy your answer and say taking the stuff down. When it's over, it used to make me sad. However, I always take the week after the holiday off. And when Christmas is over, and then there's always a moment where I'm like, I am off for a week. Like, I could be in pajamas for a week. That's the true Christmas present for me. It's very nice to just mentally go, I'm taking a week off from thinking.
And this isn't the thing I love the most about the holidays, but I really like that week, and maybe even into the beginning of January, just organizing. Because it becomes, okay, we got a lot of presents now, we got to organize. But then you end up doing the whole house. Because
let me add,
we have to do everything.
To the thing that I dread is what you just said you enjoy.
Really? Oh, I like that.
No, the
That's
putting
the only
away
time of year I like it,
of
though.
Gifts. I got to figure out a way to stress to people in my family to not just give things for the sake of having things to open. Like, I don't know. There's so much stuff. There's just so much little stuff. And when you have four kids, six people in the house, it's just a lot of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm all for the idea of, like, you want to give a Christmas present to my kid, take them out to dinner and go see a fun movie with them, and they will be over the moon for that experience. And then it won't just sit and collect dust with their other toys that they have that we always try to purge, but you do not have success with the organizing thing.
The other thing that's been tough as our families have begun to, like, be closer, because it used to be where my wife's family was all over the place.
I thought you were talking about our families. I'm like, I don't know if you've read the situation correctly.
No. is that we now have a lot of scheduling conflicts.
Yeah.
And I know that everybody deals with that. We've never really had to until the last few years, and now it's very real. Where are we going to spend Christmas Eve? Where are we going to spend Christmas morning?
When you, as a family where you're sharing time and trying to make everyone happy, I distinctly remember the Christmas where my husband and I looked at each other and we're like, we're going to do what's best for our family. And that was, at the time, three people. And we're going to go enjoy the time we have at these places, because demands would be made. And a lot of times it would feel like we were making the demands on ourselves. And it's like, you do the literal best you can, and that's all you can do. And then you just make yourself enjoy it and not worry about everything else, because you can't do more than you can do. Brad, what do you look forward to the most, and what do you dread the most?
I really look forward to seeing family members that I haven't seen in a really, really long time. The thing that I dread the most is, it's along the lines that you guys were just talking about, is like the scheduling thing. Christmas is the time where I want to go see my mom and dad, but my mom and dad want to see my sister, and they've got a big family, and they've got a bunch of scheduling things, and want to hang out with people. And for me, growing up, Christmas was always, Christmas morning was me, my brother, my sister, and my parents just hanging out on Christmas morning when we were little in our footy pajamas, you know, doing the Christmas thing. And as we've gotten older, the scheduling has taken family members away from that. And so on those Christmas...
Because they have other obligations.
They have their other obligations. And on those Christmas mornings, my parents might be somewhere, my brother might be somewhere, and it will just be me and my wife. And I mourn the loss of that family experience that we had. Not that I don't want to spend time with my wife or anything like that, but, you know, as life moves on and things change, I don't like that change. I wish things could be the way they were.
Yeah, that's the hard part about kind of what we were talking about is you've got to make those decisions. Everyone's trying to make the decision mm-hmm. to make everybody happy. And you know that your decision isn't going to be the priority decision for everybody else in your family. But at some point, you know that you can't satisfy everyone. What we realized that we were doing is we were trying to satisfy everybody else as if our responsibility in the matter was just to make sure everybody else was happy. And we were so excited for Christmas to be over one year because it was just like everything was a demand. And we just felt like, and I think that we put a lot of that on ourselves. Like we just were trying to be there for everybody all the time. And then when we kind of flipped that mentality, everybody was happy still. Everything's fine, but it's... It is difficult to make the time spread apart. One more question?
Real quick. This is mine. Do you think hover cars will ever be a practical reality?
Why would they hover? What's the need?
That's my question. Do you think they will be a practical reality? You sound like a no.
I don't know why cars need to hover.
I don't think they will either.
Well, I think that they will. I think that the fact that you can hover a car in the air high enough that you can go over buildings, over cities, stuff like that, it makes that different.
Well, glad we solved that.
How long have you been wanting to know the answer to that?
That one's been on my list for a couple weeks.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Well, I'm glad we got to it.
Me too.
We got X's and O's when we come back with Air Comfort Service in studio. Haven't done this in a while. Do you feel adequately prepared for this one, Mr. Wiggins?
Man, there's a lot of material right now. Yeah. So, yeah, this will be a good week.
Have we covered the things that you cover in X's and O's?
I would say 7 or 8
Gosh,
out of 9 of them.
Dang it, Ryan.
Mostly, yes.
Let's get Hans and Heather in here from Air Comfort Service, our friends, our sponsors from Air Comfort Service, in to play X's and O's. You can join us on the Annie Fry YouTube chat and watch it all happen. You can also see the puppies that are there. We'll get to X's and O's next. Don't go away. Cotton was short and the weeds were
tall, but Mr. Roosevelt. Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.